When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are back, and we appreciate you being here. Pat Dooley will join us in a couple of moments. More of your phone calls right now. Sean is in Dallas. So hello, Sean.
Hi. I may sound a little young, but I'm a very big fan.
How old? How old are you, Sean?
I'm 14.
You're the perfect age for this show.
He's more mature than so even though I'm from Texas, I'm a very big Florida fan because my dad went.
Okay.
So I was wondering, what are your expectations on Florida's football season coming up?
Sean, interesting that you bring that up. We have a guest coming up here in a few minutes who's covered the Gators for about 40 years. I'm not optimistic. I think while they'll be better in some regards, they certainly won't be better at quarterback with trading Anthony Richardson for Graham Mertz.
There was one problem with Anthony Richardson, I think.
What was that?
I think he tried to carry the whole team on his back when it was just unnecessary.
Well, I think at times because he didn't have he had some skill position help, but not enough. I think the schedule is just overwhelming, and I think there's a concern that the season could get away from Florida very, very quickly.
Yeah, I agree with that. The schedule, I saw it said it's the third hardest strength of schedule.
Yeah, I can't imagine. In the opener against Utah, it's a team that they did beat last year. They've got a really good quarterback in Cam Rising. Then they get a cream puff, and then Tennessee. It becomes almost a must-win against Tennessee with a trip to Kentucky looming, and then South Carolina, Georgia. I mean, it's just enormously difficult at the end. So, what do you think about the Horns this year?
I hate the Horns. They are not. No, I dislike them a lot.
Okay, so living in Dallas and hating the Horns, I guess. Who's your, other than Florida, who do you pull for?
Oh, I love TCU.
TCU,
And I also like A&M because my brother goes there.
Okay. Well, your TCU Horn, thanks for the call, Sean. Your TCU Horn Frogs just pulled a major upset in baseball, just ending a moment ago in Fayetteville. And TCU knocks off Arkansas, really a shocker. Arkansas was the number 3 seed and losing 12-4. That's two blowouts Arkansas has suffered to TCU, who was not seeded and now heads off to play in the Super Regionals. Mike is up next in Mobile. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing this afternoon?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Outstanding, man. So Friday, you talked about the Blue Bloods in college football, and there was a lot of feedback about LSU and Georgia. And I didn't hear you mention your alma mater, Tennessee, but, man, I'm thinking before LSU and Georgia even have a shot at opening their mouth in the Southeastern Conference, it's Alabama and Tennessee. They got to be up there. Just wanted to hear what you think, and appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, I think Tennessee would easily qualify if you're looking at top 10 programs of all time. I know there's a lot to go into that, but Tennessee and Alabama, in terms of the – before we got to the modern era of college football and the SEC, were the two bell cows. Thank you for the call. Well said. Appreciate it. Mike is in Toledo. You're on the air. Hello, Mike.
Yes, sir. I've missed the – I've been out of town in about the eight games, nine games, and all that other stuff that's been going on in the Southeast Conference. But the Big Ten has played nine games a year. If we're going to run into that situation next year when Southern Cal and UCLA gets in. So I think the SEC made a good decision of going 1 year, figuring all of what they have to do. But I have to agree with a lot of your callers, the second year go to a 9 conference games. That's just my opinion.
I think the easiest thing to do, Mike, is just to dance on the SEC's grave as if this was some cataclysmic decision that will forever do irreparable damage to the SEC. I get it. I don't want to see those cream puff games any more than you do, but you know, maybe I was too close to the sun being down there all week and listening to rational people explain what happened and why versus just people, you know, screaming from their basements about how terrible the SEC is versus how great the Big Ten is. The Big Ten has played 9 for a long time, and good for them. They also have won championship since the CFP started, and the SEC has owned the rest. That doesn't necessarily address the question. The SEC is going to 9. I mean, they were fairly close to going to 9 a couple of months ago, and things changed. Circumstances don't really matter because the decision has been made. I'm more curious about what the schedule looks like next Wednesday night than for SEC haters dancing on the grave. Because if you think this is really going to change the future of the SEC, you're pretty mistaken. Jeff is up next. Hello, Jeff. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to mention on the NIL deal, is there ever going to be a limit to how much those kids can make on the NIL? You know, we got $15 a month on back when I was playing. But that might not have been enough.
Jeff, that is part of what you're going to hear middle to the end of the week when all the coaches and administrators are going to Washington. I remember when I saw Senator Tuberville last year in his office, he was talking specifically about what you just raised. They would like to do it. I think the odds of Congress passing a cap are very small because there are – you have 2 houses of Congress. I think you would need 60 votes, and I don't think you can get it right now.
What? Why is it going to Congress and not in NCAA?
Well, because, here's why. The NCAA could have done something about this, but the NCAA is essentially out of business. I know there's a president, and everyone wants to talk about what a great job Charlie Baker's doing. But Charlie Baker is essentially a lobbyist for the NCAA because the NCAA as a ruling body when it comes to issues like this cannot really afford to change legislation. Now, the question is why? Because of fear of litigation. The NCAA has had such a bad track record in court, including this most recent Alston decision 2 years ago, that they are doomed if they – so their liability insurance carriers, I think, has told them, don't do anything. You're going to get crushed, and we can't afford to pay the bills. So they've abandoned it. That's why, there's been such this autonomy movement from the Power Five away from the NCAA. So now the Power Five group, without help from the NCAA, allowed state legislatures to – make decisions, and now that's becoming an issue. So they're begging for congressional intervention.
Let me ask you this. I coached high school football for 40 years, and it seems like that these kids are getting more entitled to, or feel like they're entitled to. When these kids go in and they make this X number of dollars, why can the institution not force them to, but let them pay for their education? I got an education from playing college football and was proud of that. And I think that the portal is something that's, I don't know.
Jeff, listen, dangerous. I understand. I feel like I know you, even though maybe I don't, but thank you for the call. There are a lot of young men and women like you who played in a different era. But the problem today is with individuals, whether they're coaches per se or not, offering certain players monstrous sums of money, they're relegating their control over that away. And it's just a different era. Whether you like it or not, it's where we are. JK is up next.
What's happening, Paul Finebaum?
Hey there.
You doing all right today?
I am. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, first of all, don't nobody care what Tommy Tuberville is talking about. This guy is in Washington, D.C., and don't even know that there's three branches of government. So his opinion is kind of like crazy to me. Hey, Paul, check this out. Why do these guys call in and get pissed because I have an opinion that differs from theirs because it's negative about their team? When you pick up that telephone and you allow us to talk, we're just giving our opinions. My opinion is no different or no better than anybody else's. So they might as well calm down because I'm not going to change my stance on what I believe and what I think about what's going on in college football. I think the Blue Bloods in the SEC are being protected so they won't lose in the regular season and miss the playoffs and miss out on big money for the SEC. That's my opinion. They can like it or not. And as far as dancing on the SEC grave, why not? They're just being called out, Paul. There's no reason why the fans shouldn't see Alabama, Georgia, now Oklahoma and Texas play each other in the regular season every year. Nobody wants to see Austin Peay, Kent State, ULM, and all those like teams run out of the tunnels in Bryan Denny. Nobody wants to see that crap. We want to see some legit competitive football, whether it's in the
SEC,
ACC.
You're going to see legit competitive football. Alabama goes to Wisconsin next year. They have Florida State on the schedule. This year they're playing Texas. It's not like they're feasting off of Duke and Wake Forest. They're playing Georgia and LSU and Auburn. I mean, most reasonable people agree with you, but it's going to take another year. So what?
Why should it take another year?
Unlike the conference that your school is a member of, the SEC has people that spent most of the time in Destin trying to find common ground, as opposed to having seven teams literally almost stage a walkout to try to get out of that league and into the SEC. We'll take a break. Pat Dooley on the Billy Napier question and more of your phone calls right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Okay, what about this? Swamp Kings. Netflix. Coming out in August. I'll act like I don't know anything about it. Because once you sit for interviews with companies like Netflix, you are bound by some bizarre agreement not to discuss it. But I spent 5 hours with them, and I don't even cover Florida. Can you imagine if you covered all of these games? We asked Pat Dilley. Say hello to Pat Dilley. Pat, what do you? I mean, I've heard you have your own Netflix show coming up after you appeared in Swamp Kings. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Paul. I only did 4 hours, but I made them let me go because I had to go do my radio show. So. Yeah, it was a long interview, and it's funny. I just wrote something for Gators Wire, right for them, and about that special time, and I kept trying to interject basketball things into the interview, and they were like, this is only football. I'm like, but you had to be here during that run from 06 to 08 where they won the two national championships in football and two in basketball. They have to be taken together, but they weren't interested in doing that. They wanted to stay with the football stuff. So that was okay, you know, but 4 hours, you know, you beat me 5 hours. Good job.
Pat, I may have exaggerated because I did remember leaving about five to two because I had to get back for the show. So I felt like I started earlier, but I have, and by the way, when they called me, I told them, I said, I don't know anything, okay? I mean, I was very honest. I was probably there 3 or 4 times during that period. I saw the championship games. I was in the swamp once or twice, but they said, that's okay. And I thought they wanted me to be the Urban antagonist, and I criticized Urban at one point. They said, and the guy was from London, I think. He said, stop, yep. Mr. Feinbaum. You said that you thought he did a good job at Florida. I'm like going, I thought we were talking about Jacksonville. So they didn't want to go there. So, Pat, knowing a lot about this, Tebow told me there's going to be some incredible locker room scenes that will surprise everyone about the amount of language that was used. Not you, but I'm talking about the average fans. What do you expect?
Well, the funny thing is Urban came and spoke to the quarterback club where I speak every Tuesday night here in Gainesville last fall, and he was excited about it. And I think it's supposed to be a positive Netflix series. This is not going to be Tiger King, okay? I'm curious to watch it myself. In fact, I'm so curious about it, Paul, because when I did that interview, it was a year and a half ago. I don't even remember what I said. So I may have said a couple of negative things, and they may edit them out. But, I mean, you can't talk about those that period of time with Tebow. You can talk a lot of positives, but you got to include the negatives too, because there were obviously some negative things that happened there.
Yeah, I have sources at Netflix that say they're already about to commit to the Napier years here as soon as we know which way they're going. So let me quickly shift to that, Pat. 1 year in, Napier said all the right things last week. I'm sure it's a precursor to what we'll hear at Media Day. Scott Strickland asked for patience. You're on the front line. What is your takeaway from what we've seen so far, and where is this program heading?
Well, I think that most people realize it's heading in the right direction. But there's a large group of fans that don't like how long it's going to take. I mean, they were left in a hole recruiting wise. We know that. I mean, these are all old stories. But the bottom line is, you know, every time you sit and talk to Billy Napier, you come away impressed and you go, wow, he really knows what he's doing. This makes sense. It makes sense. Then you go watch a play and you go, maybe it doesn't make so much sense. So, I mean, that was like the thing about the spring game that they played, I don't know, feels like 2 months ago, where, you know, he spoke to a bunch of groups and everything he said, it made a lot of sense. And it wasn't like he was just giving you coach speak. It made a lot of sense. And then you watched the game and you went, oh, they're going to stink next year. So, I mean, I told somebody this on our show down here, Paul, not Jeff. I mean, I was just on with Jeff for 2 hours, so pardon me for making that mistake. But imagine if, and there's no reason he would have done this, okay? He was a fourth pick in the draft. But imagine if Anthony Richardson came back this year. Even though Gator fans got mad at him all the time and everything, you would not look at Florida the same way. But because they don't have a quarterback anybody really is confident about, that's what happens. And because they put way too much emphasis on that spring game, as they did in Tuscaloosa, as you know, Paul, very well, you know, they put too much emphasis on the spring game, and they think that's going to decide what the season is going to be. I don't know how Florida's schedule's tough again this year, you know, and it feels like it's going to be another year of trying to figure out. But there's also a group of fans, and I'm not saying they're wrong, and there are times when I think they're dead right, who certainly question some of the play calling and some of the clock management of Billy Napier in his first year. I'm willing to give him a little bit of a leash there and wait and see what happens when he gets the players he wants in here. But it's going to take a while. I mean, he basically came in here his first year and said, I'm going to try to get everybody on this team to be part of what I'm trying to do here. And a bunch of them didn't want to be, so they're gone. They've all gotten in the portal or left. Some of them were booted off the team. But so now this is almost like year one for him. Last year was almost year zero.
Yeah, Pat, it may be year one, but the schedule is incredible. We just showed it a minute ago. You know that schedule. Give us a best guess on what happens. And with, you know, Utah starting it off, Tennessee, and then at Kentucky, Vanderbilt, the rest of the schedule is at South Carolina, Georgia, Arkansas, at LSU, at Missouri and Florida State. Give me a range. Where is this team going to land?
Well, I think the ceiling's 8-4, but the floor could be 4-8. It's that tough a schedule. And one reason that the schedule's tough and Georgia's isn't tough is that Georgia doesn't have to play Georgia. You know, I mean, you know, that's the thing. I mean, sure. Georgia. One reason their schedule gets easy is because they don't have to play themselves, and they're the best team in the league right now. We all know that, and they're probably going to be in the. I don't think there's any question they're going to be in the playoff again. But Florida's trying to they're trying to catch Tennessee. They're not even trying to. I mean, I'm sure they're trying to catch Georgia. But
Pat, is there a game on this schedule? And Georgia's not it, but is it Tennessee? Is it somewhere where, assuming the Gators lose to Utah, that I'm not saying it's going to break, but at some point, let's say they lose to Utah and then lose that home game against Tennessee, I mean, it starts to look really bleak already, does it not?
Yeah, it does, and I think the Tennessee game is the key one because it's in Gainesville, and, you know, their quarterback will be in his fourth start at Tennessee, and I mean, he's been erratic his whole career. We'll see how that works out. You never know what could be going on. You need to find a way to win a couple of games like that if you're going to be an 8-4 team. And I remember Tebow's Heisman year. Florida went 9-4, and everybody's like, "Well, it was a down year." I mean, that was a down year. Spurrier's last year, they were 10-2, and everybody. One reason he left, he said, was because fans were upset. They only won 10 games. This is a program that's won 6 each of the last 2 years, and it is. It's a tough time to be a Gator fan in football. now, not so much in baseball and golf. I mean, but as you know, football is what runs the roost around everywhere, and not just here, but everywhere.
I understand. I listened to Scott Strickland last week, and I sympathize with him, and I think he's right. But at some point, fans are going to make up their own mind. They're not going to listen to counseling. You've seen it too many times, Pat. You've watched it all. How does Billy Napier stay the course?
Yeah, that's going to be a good question. The funny thing is, last year they had a great home schedule in terms of marquee games, and that place was full, and it was loud, and it was electric. I mean, the Utah game was incredible. But it's not going to last forever. You can't keep, losing your bowl game and being embarrassed in two bowl games in a row. That's part of the problem. And again, that's not all Napier's fault. I mean, he wasn't a coach 2 years ago, but he is a coach now. And it's going to be interesting to see where the fan base goes. Now in fact, I wrote something about this the other day for the UF Alumni Magazine about how there's like three different groups of fans or four different groups of fans. Some of them are like, look, give this guy time. We're willing to do that. Now, are there enough of them to make it work and make it happen and keep it positive? That's going to be a big question. But like you said, they could easily lose at Utah. It's a tough place to play. They got a lot of great players coming back. They were 2 yards away from beating Florida last year. And then Tennessee is going to be a tough game. But you mentioned Kentucky. You got to go to Missouri, where you never play good. You got to go to South Carolina, where sometimes you don't play well. Obviously, Georgia's there to add LSU. It's a really tough schedule, and we'll just see if they can. Bowl eligible, I think, would be again a positive. But at some point, they've got to start winning a bunch of games. And
Pat, final question: let's say it's 5-7 or 6-6, and there's some big. Does it matter at all what Georgia's doing? If Georgia wins it again, does that play into the mindset, the psyche?
A little bit. I think it's discouraging for Gator fans that Georgia has been able to just fly by them the way they did when Florida had dominated them for so long under Spurrier and under Urban Meyer, and heck, even under Ron Zook, they won 2 out of 3. But obviously, it kind of the negative stuff kind of started with Will Muschamp. He lost 3 out of 4 to them, and then it kind of shifted, and it shifted really quickly and really fiercely, and that does make Gator fans a little discouraged. But it's more about what Florida's got going on and what they don't have going on than it is about Georgia. If FSU was winning all these national championships, it'd be just as bad. If Miami was winning, it would be just as bad. Georgia is certainly a factor in this, but I think that it's more about whether Florida can get back to where they're competitive in these games.
Pat, patience.
Yeah, you and I don't have that much of that, and we have, but everybody's got to have that, and that's why I've been waiting for a year and a half for this documentary to come out. So.
Nope, it's coming soon. I can't wait to see what 4 hours of shooting Pat Dooley will get you on a Netflix documentary. Yeah. Hey, Pat, be well.
I'll get about 8 minutes. That'll be about it. But look, I'll be on Netflix. I'm a big Netflix fan.
There's something to be said about that. Pat Dooley, thanks for the time. We head to the break. More of your phone calls right after this.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and Don is up next in Georgia as we head for the hills on this Monday.
Good afternoon, Paul. I was most interested in hearing what Pat had to say about Georgia, playing Georgia's division. Their schedule was so easy. Made me think back to Newt Rockne when he said that the hardest games they played was in practice every week. Yeah. They looked forward to games because it was a day off.
You know, he's 100% right about that, because if you're anybody else and you have to play Georgia, that counts. So I'm trying to think of who Georgia gets instead of Georgia.
Well, this is not really a question, but it was something for clarification. Maybe some of your listeners who were talking about Georgia's schedule next year. About the fact that they had to drop Oklahoma, and then you came on later and said that Alabama was playing Texas, and it brought up the question, why could Alabama play Texas, yet Georgia couldn't play Oklahoma?
Legitimate question, Don. The answer is evident if you think about it. The Texas series with Alabama will end once they play in September, so it does not impede Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC, where the Oklahoma deal did. There was a game this year, and then there was another game down the road.
Right. I didn't understand that at first, but I appreciate the clarification on it, and I always enjoy listening to you. Thank you for
taking
my call.
Thank you, Don. Great to hear from you. Dustin is up next.
Well, Mr. Paul Feinbaum, how are you this afternoon, sir?
We're doing okay. Thank you.
Hey, brother, I heard J.K. call in earlier, and I never thought this would happen, but I agree with him. He said that he does not have better opinions than anyone else, and I completely agree. J.K., you don't have better opinions than anybody else. Yours are, like, bringing up the rear every single time. But the real reason I called in, Paul, is I wanted to give a quick congratulations to the Arkansas Razorbacks baseball team. Not going to make it to Omaha this year. Hats off to TCU. They were an offensive buzzsaw. But everybody that came to the regional, especially Santa Clara, class acts, man, we're really, really happy to have them there and really proud of our young men. Still a big supporter. Disappointed doesn't even begin to say how I feel about the season and how it ended with injuries and just kind of ran out of gas at the end. But very happy to still be a Razorback, very much still a supporter of the Omahawks. And if you let me, I want to give a quick hello to a friend who got some very good news recently, Mr. Gus Fantastico. Got the results of some tests, and it turns out David Martz is his son, and we're very happy to see that family reunited back in Arkansas. So thanks, Paul. Hope you guys are having a great afternoon, and go Hawks.
Wes is up next in Georgia. Hello, Wes.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're okay, thank you.
Hey, Alabama's going to lose about four games this year, Paul.
No, Wes, come on. Where do you come up with stuff like that? You've been listening to Michael Bratton?
Yeah. No. I'm just saying, just look at what they got. They got no coaching staff that can develop those four or five-star players. They got an old coach, old has-been coach. And then they got no quarterback.
Hey, like, time on, out. Man. Time out for a second.
How they going to win?
Wes.
How they going to win? Where are they?
You just called the greatest coach in college football history old and a has-been?
Yeah, he's a has-been coach. ball. Like, I don't see him winning no more.
Wes, do you realize in the last 3 years, that guy you just referred to as old and a has-been finished 1, 2, and 5 in the final rankings?
Yeah. That's because of his reputation. You know, he got a reputation.
Well, no. That is not his reputation. That's the actual rating for his football program.
Okay, so do you think Alabama could beat LSU or Tennessee this year? You really think that could
Yeah, I think they'll beat both of them, frankly.
You think they could beat LSU and Tennessee?
Yes.
I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening, Paul.
Well,
they ain't got no quarterback.
They're both at Bryant Denny Stadium, where Alabama is extremely dangerous. And
yeah,
I mean, I'm aware of what everyone says about Alabama. I do keep up occasionally with their program.
Yeah, but who's their quarterback?
Well, listen. You could offer me all the money in the world, and I can't answer that one.
That's what I mean. Like, they ain't got no quarterback, you know. So if they ain't got no good quarterback in the SEC, you're not gonna win. So I got Alabama losing to Texas, Tennessee, LSU.
Hey Wes, quick question here. I know it sounds like I'm being lazy with pulling this one out of my hat, but 2 years ago, were you predicting Stetson Bennett to win 2 national championships?
No.
He was at one time the number 4 quarterback at Georgia.
Yeah, he was. But he rose to the occasion and he took everybody out. You know what I'm saying? So, but I don't see none of them quarterbacks in Alabama doing that. I don't see it, Paul.
Who's your team, Wes?
It's Georgia.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure about that. I just wanted to make sure we established that. We're heading to a break. We're back with a few more minutes right after this. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.